Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Learning to Fly podcast. It is Thanksgiving, and as such, we are going to celebrate that on the podcast with some Thanksgiving poems, some gratitude poems, some food poems, and just spending some time together while maybe you're cooking or eating or traveling. It's honestly just a holiday, in my opinion, for being with loved ones. I don't really think of it from like an American tradition standpoint. I think of it as a gathering, and it's a really great opportunity. Also, it's kind of like a anniversary of a housewarming. It was one of the first holidays that we celebrated when we first moved to our current house, and we hadn't been here very long, and so that was quite a memorable Thanksgiving on multiple accounts. So, yeah, I wanted to celebrate it with you guys from those perspectives. And the very first poem I'm going to read to you is Thanksgiving by Edgar Albert Guest. Getting together to smile and rejoice, and eating and laughing with the folks of your choice, and kissing the girls and declaring that they are growing more beautiful day after day, chatting and bragging a bit with the men, building the old family circle all over again, living the wholesome and old-fashioned cheer just for a while at the end of the year. Greetings fly fast as we crowd the door, and under the old roof we gather once more, just as we did when the youngsters were small, mothers a little bit gayer, that's all, fathers a little bit older, but still ready to romp and to laugh at a will. Here we are back at the table again, telling our stories as men and women. Bowed our heads for a moment in prayer. Oh, but we're grateful and glad to be there. Home from the East Land and home from the West. Home with the folks that are dearest and best. Out of the sham of the cities afar, we've come for a time to be just what we are. Here we can talk of ourselves and be frank, forgetting position and station and rank. Give me the end of the year and its fun, when most of the planning and toiling is done. Bring all the wanderers home to the nest. Let me sit down with the ones I love best. Hear the old voices still ringing the song. See the old faces unblemished by wrong. See the old table with all of its chairs, and I'll put soul in my Thanksgiving prayers. So one of the reasons I got really tripped up on this is this poem to me has always felt kind of like a country song, and it kind of has like a deep country voice to it, in my opinion. And that's not really something that's my style, so I always trip up when I read it. And hopefully one day I'll hear somebody with like a Johnny Cash voice, or like a Sam Elliott voice, or something like that. And I would really love to hear this poem in that style, because as far as I can tell, that's what it's really meant to be. I also love this poem because there are a couple of lines that I really, really adore. One of them includes the, out of the sham of the cities afar, we've come for a time to be just what we are. I really, really like that, and how family is usually one of the places where you can either be your full self, or where you kind of realize where you got certain traits, or certain habits, or certain things. And I really love that concept of being home, wherever home is for you. And for some people, that's found family. For some people, that's blood. For some people, that's coworkers. And I love that you can kind of make that whatever you want it to be. And then, of course, I love bring all the wanderers home to the nest. Let me sit down with the ones that I love best, because not just the whole blue jay thing, but I love when a nest is used in a poem so wholly and without any sort of pomp or circumstance. So I really like that. And our next poem is going to be Yam by Bruce Guernsey. The potato that ate all its carrots can see in the dark like a mole. Its eyes, the scars from centuries of shovels and tines, may spilled backwards because it hates the light, pawing its way, padding along there in the catacombs. It's a simple little one. And of course, this wouldn't be a Thanksgiving piece without Perhaps the World Ends Here by Joy Harjo. I adore her. The world begins at a kitchen table. No matter what, we must eat to live. The gifts of the earth are brought and prepared, set on the table. So it has been since creation, and it will go on. We chase the chickens or dogs away from it. Babies teethe at the corners. They scrape their knees under it. It is here that children are given instructions on what it means to be human. We make men at it. We make women. At this table, we gossip, recall enemies and the ghosts of lovers. Our dreams drink coffee with us. They put their arms around our children. They laugh with us at our poor falling down selves, and we put ourselves back together once again at the table. This table has been a house in the rain, an umbrella in the sun. Wars have begun and ended at this table. It is a place to hide in the shadow of terror, a place to celebrate the terrible victory. We have given birth at this table, and have prepared our parents for burial here. At this table, we sing with joy, with sorrow. We pray of the suffering and remorse. We give thanks. Perhaps the world will end at our kitchen table while we are laughing and crying, eating the last sweet bite. One of the things I love about Joy Harjo is that her poems are always so incredibly earthy and honest, and there's this universal nature to them, despite being about such very specific experiences and very specific moments from her past and her story and her culture, and I really love that. And I don't know about you, but one of the first things that was in each of the houses that I've lived in, I've moved a lot, one of the very first things every single time was a dining room table, whether it had made the move with us or it was the first piece of new furniture we bought. It was always one of the things that was so important to the house coming alive and to feeling like a house. And in my life, at least, the kitchen table has always been the arts and crafts space, the eating space, the gathering space, the work space, the gaming table, the laundry space, every single thing that a table could possibly be used for, the dining room table was in my life used for as well. And so I think that the fact that this poem leans into all the moments and memories that are made at the table really hits home for me. So I am really glad we got to share that one. And we're also going to do Catalog of Unabashed Gratitude by Ross Gay. And I know that Ross Gay is not for everyone. Everybody has very, very strong opinions for some reason Okay, I get the reason, but like, I don't know. This is a really, really great poem for the holiday, and it brings a perspective that sometimes gets swept under the table, so I want to share it with you guys. And if you are not a Ross Gay fan, either I hope you'll bear with me, or you can fast forward about 2 minutes, whichever makes you happy. Friends, will you bear with me today? For I have awakened from a dream in which a robin made with its shabby wings a kind of veil, behind which it shimmied and stomped something from the south of Spain, its breast aflare, looking me dead in the eye from the branch that grew into my window, coochie cooing my chin, the bird shuffling its little talons left then right, while the leaves bristled against my plaster wall, two of them drifting onto my blanket, while the bird opened and closed its wings like a matador, giving up on murder, jutting its beak, turning in a circle, and flashing again, the ruddy bombast of its breast, by which I knew walking upon it was telling me in no uncertain terms to bellow forth the tubas and the sousaphones, the whole rusty brass band of gratitude, not quite dormant in my belly, it said, so in a human voice, bellow forth. And who among us could ignore such an odd and precise counsel? Hear ye, I am here to holler that I have hauled tons, by which I don't mean lots, I mean tons of cow shit. And it stood ankle deep in the swells of maggots swirling in spent beer grains. The brewery man was good enough to dump off, holding his nose, for the smell was very bad. But they make the compost writhe and giddy and lick its lips, tingling dung with my pitchfork again and again with hundreds and hundreds of other people. We dreamt an orchard this way, furrowing our brows and hauling our wheelbarrows and sweating through the shirts. And 2 years later, there was a party with at which the trees were sunk into the well-fed earth, one of which, a Liberty apple, after being waited for and tamped by a baby foot, with the bow hanging in her hair, biting her lip with the joy in her joyous work. And friends, in this is the realest place I know. It makes me squirm like a worm, and I am so grateful. You could ride your bike there, or roller skate, or catch the bus. There is a fence and a gate twisted by hand. There is a fig tree taller than you in Indiana. It will make you gasp. It will make you want to stay alive, even. Thank you. And thank you for taking my pal when the engineer of his mind dragged him to swig fistfuls of Xanax and a bottle or two of booze. And thank you for taking my father a few years after his own father went down. And thank you, mercy, mercy, thank you for not smoking meth with your mother. Oh, thank you for leaving and for coming back. And thank you for what is inside my friends. Love bursts like a throng from the roadside of a goldenrod, gleaming into the world like hauling a shovel with her, like the one named Arlie thought, with hands big as horses, and who, like one named Arlie thought, will laugh time to time till the juice runs from her nose. Oh, thank you for the way the small things wail makes the milk and what once was milk in us to gather into horses, huckle buckling across the field. And thank you, my friends, when last spring and hyacinth bell rings, when the crocuses flaunted their upturned skirts, and a quiet roved the beehive, which when I entered were snuggled two or three dead fist-sized clutches of bees between the frames, almost clinging to one another, this one's tiny head pushed into another's tiny wing, one's forelegs resting on another's face, the translucent paper of their wings fluttering beneath my breath, when a few drops into the frame, honey, and after falling down to cry, everything's glacial shine. And thank you too, and thanks for the corduroy couch I have put you on. Put your feet up, here's the light blanket and a pillow, dear one, for I can feel this is going to be long. I can't stop my gratitude, which includes, dear reader, you, for staying here with me, for moving your lips just so as I speak. Here's a cup of tea I spooned honey into it. And thank you, the tiny bee's shadow, pursuing these words as I write them, and the way my love talks quietly when the hive, so quietly, in fact, you cannot hear her, but the only notice her lips barely moving in conversation. Thank you, what does not scare her in me, but makes her reach my way. Thank you, the love she is, which hurts sometimes, and the time she misremembered elephants in one of my poems, which, oh, here they come, garland, with the morning glory and wisteria blooms, trombones all the way down to the river. Thank you, the quiet in which the river bends around the elephant's solemn trunk, polishing stones floating on its gentle back, and the flock of geese flying overhead, and to the quick and the gentle flocking of men, and to the old lady falling down on the corner of Fairmont and 18th, holding patiently to the softest part of her hands, the cane and the purple hat, gathering from her contents of her purse, and touching her shoulder and elbow. Thank you to the cocky-eyed court, on which half court three verses three, we old heads made some runny nose kids a shambles, and the 61-year-old, after flipping the reverse laid off the back door, cut from my no look pass to seal the game, ripped off his shirt and threw punches at God, and hollered at the kids to admire his pacemaker's scar, grinning across his chest. Thank you, the glad accordion's wheeze in the chest. Thank you, bagpipes. Thank you to the woman barefoot in the gaudy dress for stopping her car in the middle of the road, and the tractor trailer behind her and the van behind it, whisking a turtle off the road. Thank you, God of gaudy. Thank you, paisley panties. Thank you, the organ up my dress. Thank you, the sheer dress you wore kneeling in a dream at the creek's edge, and the light swimming through it, the koi kissing halos into the glassy air, the room in my mind with the blinds drawn where we nearly injure each other crawling into the shawl of each other's body. Thank you for saying it plain, fuck each other is dumb. And you, again, you, for the true kindness it has been to for you to remain awake with me like this, nodding time to time and making that noise which I take to mean yes, or I understand, or please go on, but not too long. And why are you spitting so much? Or easy tiger, hands to yourself. I am excitable, I am sorry, I am grateful. I just want us to be friends now and forever. Take this bowl of blackberries from my garden. I picked them just for you. I promise I will try to stay on my side of the couch. And thank you for the baggy dreadlocks I found in the drawer while washing and folding the clothes of our murdered friend, the photo in which his arm slung around the sign to the trail of silences. Thank you, the way before he died he held his hands open to us, for coming back in the waft of incense or the shape of a boy in another city looking from between his mother's legs, or disappearing into the stacks after brushing by, from moseying back into the dreams where, seeing us lost and scared, he put his hands on our shoulders and pointed us to the temple across town. And thank you to the man all night long hosing a mist on the early bloomed peach tree so that the hard frost does not waste the crop, the ice in his beard and the ghosts lifting from him when the warming sun told him sleep now. Thank you, the ancestor who loved you before she knew you by the smuggling seeds into her braid for so long in the journey, who loved you before he knew you by putting a walnut tree into the ground, who loved you before she knew you by not slaughtering the land. Thank you, who did not bulldoze this ancient grove of dates and olives, who sailed his keys into the ocean and walked softly home, who did not fire, who did not plunge his head into the toilet, who said, stop, don't do that, who lifted someone broken up, who volunteered the way a plant birthed of the reseeding plant is called a volunteer, like the plum tree that marched beside the raised bed in my garden, like the arugula that marched itself between the blueberries, nary a bayonet, nary an army, nary a nation, which the usage of the word volunteer, familiar to the gardener, the wide world, made my pal shout, oh, and dance and plunge his knuckles into the lush soil before gobbling two strawberries and digging a song from his guitar made of wood from a tree someone planted. Thank you. Thank you, Zinnia, and Gooseberry, and Rudbeck, and Pawpaw, and Ashmed's Colonel, and Coxcomb, and Scarlet Runner, and Feverfew, and Lemon Balm. Thank you to the Knit Bone, and the Sweet Grass, and the Sunchoke, the False Indigo, whose petals stammered apart by bumblebees. Good Lord, please give me a minute, and the Moonglow, and the Catkin, and the Crookneck, and the Painted Tongue, and the Seed Pod, and the Johnny Jump Up. Thank you, what glad rackets us, and thank you too to the knucklehead heart, this pelican heart, this gap-toothed fair heart flinging open its gaudy maw to the sky. Oh clumsy, oh bumblefucked, oh giddy, oh dumbstruck, oh rickshaw, oh ghost twisting its head from me, from the peach tree's highest branch, balanced impossible, gobbling the last fruit, its tongue working like an engine, a lone sweet drop tumbling by some miracle into a mouth like some the smell of someone I've loved, heart like an elephant screaming at the bones of its dead, heart like the lady on the bus dressed head to toe in gold, the sun shivering off her tiny boots, singing Erica Badu to herself, leaning her head against the window, and thank you the way my father one time came back in a dream by plucking the two cables beneath my chin like a bass fiddle strings and played me until I woke singing, no kidding, singing, smiling, thank you, stumbling into the garden where the Juneberry's flower had burst open. Like the bells of French horns, the lily my mother and I planted oozed into the air, and a bazillion ants labored into the earth and warships below, and the collard greens waved in the wind like the sails of ships, and the wasps swam in the mince bloom, viscous will, and you, again you, for hanging tight, dear friend. I know I can be long-winded sometimes. I want so badly to rub the sponge of gratitude over every last thing, including you, which, yes, awkward in the suds in your ear and armpit, and the little sparkling gem slipping into your eye, soon it will be over, which is precisely what the child in my dream said, holding my hand, pointing to the rolling sea and the sky hurtling our way like so many buffalo, who said, it's much worse than we think, and sooner, to whom I said, no duh, child, in my dreams. What do you think the singing and shuddering is? What the screaming and reaching and dancing and crying is, other than loving what every second goes away? Goodbye, I mean to say, and thank you, every day. So I knew that was a long poem, but I thought it was a little bit shorter, or I could read it a little bit faster. Clearly it took some time, but I think it's such an incredible poem with so much imagery and depth, and I love how there are lines that are dedicated to so many people in his life and so many people who are a part of his story, and I love that he goes on to talk about so many specific plants and specific things in his area. And I don't know if you know, but a lot of the flowers that are mentioned that are in bloom here are autumn flowers. And I love the note of things like collard greens, which might be eaten during the holiday time. And I just love that despite all the terrible things that are mentioned in this, or all of the grief and losses and change, there's still so much gratitude in each and every day and for each and every moment and memory. And I really love that this time of year, especially because I think so many of us get so caught up in, well, I don't have that anymore, or, well, they're not here anymore, or why does it matter, and things like that, that we lose sight of all the things that were made possible by our friendships or by our loves or by keeping the people that we love close by, or just appreciating what we had even if we don't have it anymore, and also that appreciation of all these things will come again next year, so it's very possible that these people or these memories or these moments will come again in their own ways as well. And I wanted this to be a longer episode because it is a holiday episode, and because My hope is that people are listening to this while they're traveling, and people are listening to this while they're cooking, and people are listening to this maybe with their family and their loved ones. And that's one of my favorite things about the holiday episodes, is because there is that potential, and then you guys can have conversations together. And I know you guys will reach out in the comments and will message me and things like that. And I really love community around episodes like this. And I think that there was such a wide variety of poetry that there is something for everyone, or there's a line for everyone. And that's one of my favorite things. So happy Thanksgiving, however you may be spending it, wherever in the world you are, whoever loved ones you have. I hope that you can just remind them how fabulous they are, or you can take some time to write your own gratitude poem today. And that doesn't always have to be in like a cheesy way. Sometimes it can just genuinely be a catalog of unabashed joy, like Ross Gay wrote. And I am really excited about tomorrow's episode as well. Tomorrow is National Tell Your Story Day, which has a lot of really cool history, and it is basically a way to get your loved ones to write down stories from their life, or to tell stories from their life, so that they can be passed down to future generations. And I really, really love that. And tomorrow is also Native American Heritage Day, and I have some very beloved friends who are Native American and have made some incredible memories with me and have helped me to craft this episode. So I'm very, very excited about it, and I can't wait to honor them a little bit and to start some bigger conversations and to really center in on that concept of ancestry and of preserving our stories. So yeah, all of that is to say, I hope you are having an incredible today. I hope tomorrow is beautiful, and I will see you again tomorrow for another episode of the Learning to Fly podcast. Goodbye for now, and have a fantastic day, everyone. See you again tomorrow.